mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is born. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Savior of the world.
Amen, and good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship, and Merry Christmas. It's good to see all of you here. Some of you I haven't seen in a long time. Welcome back. It's good to see you here at Grace Bible Fellowship. If you're a guest with us here today, there's a place in your bulletin that says, Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. You can fill that out and then just tear it off. Drop it in the little wood offering box by the double doors you came through, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. All right, are you ready to lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? After all, it's his birthday today. Well, not today, but, you know, somewhere around in there. Nobody knows the real date, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So today we're going to worship him, and what I want to ask you to do is take whatever is going on in your life and lay it at his feet. Maybe today you're here and it's the Christmas season, but you're going through a tough time. You're going through a difficult time. Happens to all of us, amen? Nobody's exempt from that, right? Maybe you're here and you're like so busy you don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to get it all done before Christmas gets here. But whatever's going on in your life, I'm going to ask you to do something today, and we're going to pray about this in a moment, but I'm going to ask you to lay it all at his feet. Quit worrying about it. Quit stressing over it. And for 1 hour, let your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be God. For 1 hour, as you love him, And as you worship him and as you lift him up, and let's make this service all about him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this time that we have to worship you today. Father, help us to get our minds and our hearts focused on you. We thank you for this wonderful time of season, this time of giving, this time of worshiping you. And Lord, show us today what Christmas is really all about. And we just thank you for an opportunity to be giving people, to give to those in need, to give back to those who have shown their love for us, to give to those in our families, to give to our church family, on and on and on. There's so many just great things that come about this time of year. And I thank you and I praise you for that today. And Lord, as Matt continues to lead us here in a moment, help us to focus on what we're singing. Some of these songs, we could sing them with our eyes closed and our minds closed. But help us to focus, and may every word we sing be lifted up to you as a praise offering to you. And we thank you and we love you, God, for the original Christmas gift, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous thing. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis. is Deo Gloria. In excelsis Deo. Oh, come. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
You know, it's interesting if you read each of the four Gospels, the writers approach it in different ways. And Matthew is one who really talks about the how Jesus fulfilled prophecy, his lineage, all of that, how he fulfilled so many prophecies from the Old Testament. And the song we're about to sing is called God With Us. It's Emmanuel, God with us. And in Matthew 1:23, it says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And he's quoting Isaiah there. That's a prophecy from Isaiah that this would be God with us. So it's not a traditional Christmas hymn. This is my one song to not be a traditional Christmas hymn this morning. But that's the message of the song. So if you've heard it, it's not new. You guys sing it loud with me.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? free in ways that we never should be. Sweet release from the grip of these chains. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you. Don't deserve your glory. Still, you show a love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer could keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary, but nevertheless we lay it at your feet. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary, but nevertheless we lay this at your feet. Within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. My debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us.
Father, we thank you that you came, you stooped to become one of us, to fulfill prophecy, to save the world. We thank you that we can call you by that name, Emmanuel, God with us. That you gave up your position in heaven temporarily to become human, to live a life as we live, to suffer the things that we suffer, and more. And we thank you that as we celebrate what this time of year means, that you came to earth, we know what happens 33 years later, the story that was written for our salvation and your glory. So, Father, let us be mindful of that as we go. We accept gifts, we give gifts. I pray that at the center of it all, we would glorify you. And let it start this morning. Give us ears to hear your message. God, speak through Chris and allow us to just rest and abide in you as we sit here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
you, but that song's about as Christmas can get. Amen? If that's not the true meaning of Christmas, I don't know what is. Thanks, Matt. That is by the way, Matt, one of my favorite songs. I just don't know the words of songs, so I can't, or the names of songs, so I can't tell you that, but it is one of my favorite songs. Well, today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapter 9. I think I've got most of it in your notes. But if you want to turn in your Bibles, then certainly do so. Take your Bibles out, and you can read along with us in some of this. But today, we're going to answer the question, what is Christmas really all about? Okay? And I just want to say Merry Christmas again to every one of you. It's finally here. I love the Christmas season. It's one of my favorite times of year. Now, this year is a little bit different for us because normally we have a big tree with all kinds. I mean, this big, massive, round thing with all kinds of lights and ornaments. And I'm not one of these guys that Santa Claus doesn't get me down or none of that, you know, Frosty or whatever, Rudolph. None of that stuff bothers me. I don't let anything deter me from worshiping the Lord at Christmas time. And so I don't get mad about that stuff. It doesn't upset me. I think for little kids it's fun. But anyway, it's different at our house. If you were to come to our house now, it's different because we don't have the big tree up. We don't have all the lights and all the ornaments. We don't have lights on the house. We don't have the outside Christmas tree all lit up this year. Normally we have three small trees in the house. We have a small tree in the house that has all kinds of hunting ornaments on it. We have a small tree in the house, this will shock you, that has all Oklahoma Sooner ornaments on it. Please don't hate me. And then the most important tree that we have in the house is all ornaments about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But even though there's no tree, no lights yet, it doesn't deter me from enjoying Christmas because that's not what Christmas is all about. So I'm really glad you're here today. I'm glad you're with us today because we're going to talk about what Christmas is really all about. In fact, we're going to discover how to celebrate Christmas in a way that's meaningful to God, okay? Put another way, we're going to take the focus off of ourselves and we're going to make Christmas meaningful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because after all, it's His birthday, amen? Now, in our home, I'm married to the best wife on the planet. Most of y'all know that. And Andrea makes a lot of sacrifices. She makes a lot of sacrifices. In fact, from before Thanksgiving till after Christmas, we go nonstop meeting needs. The needs of people that need whatever. I mean, everything from Christmas gift to little kids to meeting needs. And so, but Andrea makes a lot of sacrifices. She works all day. Then she comes home and she cooks, she cleans, she washes clothes, on and on and on. And I'm very thankful for my precious wife. In fact, I thank God for her every day. I tell her how much I appreciate her every day. I tell her how lucky she is every day. I'm joking. I'm joking. I also make it a habit to tell her I love her every day. But what if I told her all those things and yet never helped her, never served her, and never showed my love for her? What if she gave everything she had to show her love for me, but I never gave it back? Would she then have a reason to doubt my love for her? Of course she would. Why? Because loving and giving always go together in life. In fact, loving and giving always go together in Scripture. So how do you know you really love someone? You know you really love someone when you give back. And you don't just receive and receive and receive, but when you show appreciation to them and you give back to them. And according to the Bible, that's the measure of whether or not your love is sincere. notes this morning. My giving proves the sincerity of my love for God. My giving proves the sincerity of my love for God. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that from what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches in 1 John 4:8-10 in your notes that God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent, or he gave, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. He sent him into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he's loved us and sent, and or again, he gave his one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so that's what happened at the very first Christmas. The Bible says that God so loved the world, listen to this, that he gave, he sacrificed, and he proved the sincerity of his love for us. And when we give back to God, it proves that we sincerely love him. Put another way, it gives meaning to our otherwise empty words about how much we love and follow Jesus. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:7-9. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, Paul says, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, in many churches, and this saddens my heart, but in many churches, giving is the low point of the service. While the offering plate's being passed, some people ignore it. Some people just tolerate it, and then some people outright resent it. And that just saddens my heart. But interestingly enough, I never felt that way. Even when I wasn't a Christian, I didn't get saved till I was 18. But growing up in church all my life, I never felt that way because my parents and my grandparents were always giving back to God. They were people who took Jesus at his word and actually believe that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And here at GBF, we encourage people to give as the Holy Spirit leads them to. We encourage people to give to God as an act of worship and in thanksgiving to God for all the sacrifices that he's made for you and I through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we encourage you to give to show your love for God. And the reason we do it this way, we don't pass a plate, but the reason we do it the way we do it is because God's word is clear that you are not to give under compulsion, but as a deep, heartfelt expression of love to God. 2 Corinthians 9 and Acts 17. So when we give here at GBF, we are saying, God, we are showing our love for you and are so thankful for all that you have given and sacrificed for us. In fact, you've even given us eternal life through the forgiveness and grace provided by the ultimate and indescribable Christmas gift of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And everything we have in this life, everything that we have in this life that is good is because of you, God, Acts 17:25. And so we want to say thank you, and we want to say that we love you by giving back to you. We want to prove that we love you by giving back to you. And so there's never any pressure, ever. We're about to do 15 years, February 14th, Valentine's Day will be our 15-year anniversary. There's never once been any pressure at GBF for you to give. There's plenty of opportunities, but no pressure. And if you give at this church, it's because you're truly thankful and you're truly wanting to give back to God for all that he's done for you. In fact, I encourage people all the time, you need to learn to start giving back to God. You need to learn to take some of the things that he's given to you for you to be a good steward over and give those things back to him and his kingdom. And here's why. Until you start giving back to God, you'll never understand the heart of the God who gave up everything for you. You'll never understand the heart of the God that you claim to follow until you become a giving person. Put another way, until you start giving, your relationship with God will always be distant. It'll never be intimate. It'll never be close. It'll always seem far away. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. People come to me all the time and they ask me questions about giving. How do I know if I should give here? How do I know if I should give there? How do I know how much I should give or whatever? And I never answer those questions. I tell them, you need to go to God. And you need to get on your knees before him and get in his word and let him show you what you need to do, where you need to give. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Listen, God will use your giving to inspire others to live for him. In fact, one of the ways I learned the importance of living for God was by watching my parents and my grandparents give to God all of my life, and even make sacrifices for his kingdom. I was thinking back as I was writing this sermon, the financial sacrifices that I watched my parents make to give back to God have never left me. They've always stuck with me. And until I was 18 years old, I was a rebel. I mean, I know this is kind of a phrase, but I truly was a rebel without a cause. I was running as hard and fast as I could away from God. But I could never forget the example that I saw in my mom and dad. And the example that I saw in my grandparents never escaped me. It never left me. I always remembered it. And so parents and grandparents, I want to encourage you today, point out your giving and point out the sacrifices that you're making for God's kingdom to your children on a regular basis. Because it's a game changer. My dad never said anything, but my mom always would. And my mom would come to me and she would say, with my grandparents, it was the opposite. It was my grandfather that always pointed it out. But my mom would come to me and go, your dad just sold that car. You know, we had this. My dad made good money when we were young, and I remember we had this awesome van, one of those vans that you travel in, and it's got carpet and all these bucket seats and TVs and all that kind of stuff. Your dad just sold that van so he could give to the church. That stuff never left me. It stayed with me. And if you want your children to follow the Lord, then point out to them how you're following the Lord. I'll never forget my parents driving me and my brother by this big church in North Arlington, just sits on the north side of I-30, and saying, look, boys, that's the church we're building. I'll never forget that. I think I was in high school. My brother and I were in high school at that time. I'll never forget my grandfather taking me by this church in Kansas and pointing it out to me and telling me that he and my grandmother had helped build that church for the Lord. I'll never forget those times. I still look back on those times and reflect on those times. And my parents would even point out how they were sacrificing to help build God's church. And I've never forgotten, and I'll never forget, my Uncle Mike calling me and saying, "Chris, I just watched Papa Moore write the last check he'll ever write on this earth to the GBF building while he laid in a nursing home. He wrote a check to the GBF building fund because he was so excited about what God was doing through our church. You see, my giving proves the sincerity of my love for God, and secondly, my giving proves the priority of my life is God. My giving proves the priority of my life is God, and this is one of the main reasons why I believed what my parents and my grandparents believed. Why I couldn't continue rejecting what they believed. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:5. "And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." Jesus said that's the number one purpose for your life, is to give first to the Lord, to make him first in your life. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And Jesus is saying, listen, if you don't do anything on this, anything else in this life, learn to love the Lord your God with everything you have. Listen, that's what God wants from you this Christmas. You want to know what God wants from you this Christmas? Learn to love him. Learn to walk in an intimate relationship with him. Don't just believe stuff about him. I can't think of anything that would be more painful than if my children just believed stuff about me but never wanted to spend time with me. Or if I gave and gave and gave and gave and they never gave anything back. That's painful for someone that you love. And so Jesus is saying, look, that's what God wants from you more than anything else this Christmas. And after all, it's his birthday. Lest we somehow forget and plan this huge celebration all for ourselves. Let me give you a definition of the word sacrifice. I think I put it in your notes. Sacrifice is the surrender of something prized. And I watched my parents do this over and over again when I was growing up. The surrender of something prized for the sake of showing love and devotion. Amen? Someone once said the true measure of a gift is what you had to give up to give it. That's how you know you really love someone, when you sacrificed and you give up something that you prize to be a blessing to them. God has sacrificed his son for you and I. When was the last time you surrendered something you prized for him? I'll never forget when we were building Lamar Baptist Church in Arlington, this man got up in front of the church. I was talking to Rick Leinberger. He's one of my best friends, mentor, lifelong mentors, and he pastors First Baptist Glen Rose now. And he was pastoring Lamar Baptist Church in Arlington at the time. And we were talking about this at lunch several months ago. But this man got up in front of the church and shared with us that the Lord had told him to sell his plane and give the proceeds to the building fund. Now, as a high school kid, I'm going, you got a plane? Right? You got an airplane and you're going to sell it and give the money to the church? Whoa, okay. Here I am at 62. I've never forgotten that. And now I know this guy. We're friends. He owns a huge ranch over here in Glen Rose. I know him. We're friends. And I see the kind of person this guy is. How he walks with God. And how God uses him to build his kingdom. But here's what I want you to see and understand. Until you learn to give back to God, you will never be close to God, because giving back legitimizes that he's the priority of your life. It shows that he's the Lord of your life. And here's the bottom line. you're either a giving person or you're a what kind of person? Greedy person, right? You're either a giving person or you're a greedy person, and as long as you're a greedy person, you'll never be able to relate to God. As long as you're a greedy person, you'll never be able to relate to God. You'll never learn to love God or trust God if you're greedy. Why? Because it's all about you. Jesus said in Luke 16 in your notes, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Bottom line, you can't be a lover of money and a lover of God at the same time. Now, that does not mean you can't have wealth. It means you can't be in love with it. It can't be the number one priority in your life. In fact, God gave people wealth in the Bible, but he expected them to use it for his kingdom and for his glory. Put another way, he expected them to be godly stewards of his gifts. Point number three. Number one, my giving proves the sincerity of my love for God. Number two, my giving proves the priority of my life is God. And number three, my giving proves my faith in God is real. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In other words, in everything that God has prepared ahead of time for you to be involved in. Ephesians 2:10. Now, why would a person sow sparingly? Why would a person sow sparingly? Number one, either because they didn't realize what was coming by sowing sparingly, or number two, they didn't really believe what was coming for sowing sparingly. Because they don't really believe in God's promise to bless them and provide for them, a person sows sparingly. But according to Scripture, there's no such thing as insufficient grace. God's grace, the Bible says, will supply all you need when you're living for him and his kingdom purposes, Matthew 6:33. But with this promise of blessing, don't miss this, with this promise of blessing comes the condition of giving. And if you're not a giving person, then you're not a trusting person. Nothing shuts off the grace of God like greed, yet nothing releases the grace of God like faith. And my giving proves, especially to those in my family, that my faith in God is real. And that's how you can celebrate Christmas this year, knowing your heart is in the right place. But it takes real faith to become less stingy and to become more giving. And your generosity, the Bible says, will result in thanksgiving to God. In closing, listen to what God said to his people through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7:13 in your notes. While you were doing all these things, while you were busy doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called to you and you did not answer. Some of us are so busy at Christmas doing all these things. You know, it's kind of cool in a way. I told Andrew, I said, dude, it doesn't faze me that tree's not up, that the lights aren't up. I shouldn't say it doesn't faze me because I love that stuff. I really do love that stuff. I don't care whether anybody else likes it or not. I love it. But at the end of the day, this is not what it's all about. And some of us get so busy at Christmas doing all these things. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are giving people. I mean, we just took care of over 100 children. We just sent I don't know how many Christmas gift boxes around the world. We just provided an entire Christmas for a family with a dad that just died at 42. It's amazing what you guys do for others and how you give back to God at Christmas. It's truly amazing what you guys do. But some of us get so busy at Christmas doing all these things that we don't even realize we're ignoring Christ. And it's his birthday. But that doesn't have to be you and I this Christmas, amen? This Christmas, prove to Jesus that you sincerely love him. Prove to Jesus that he is truly the priority in your life. Prove to Jesus that your faith is real by giving back to him. After all, it is his birthday. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that every morning your word helps me realign my priorities with you. With you and your perfect and pleasing will. Now you may be here today or you may be watching today and you may want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Lord Jesus, I need your forgiveness. You've sacrificed everything for me, and I can't remember the last time that I sacrificed for you. You've been giving and giving and giving, and I've been giving nothing back. I realize that I've been worshiping you with my mouth while my heart is far from you. So today I confess my greed to you and ask for the grace to turn back to you. Teach me to become a giving person so I can celebrate Christmas this year with you and enjoy times of refreshing from your presence in my life. Or maybe you're here or you're watching online today and you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Lord, for me to celebrate Christmas with integrity this year, I need to confess that when I give, I do it because I'm supposed to. I do it because I feel like I have to more than with a willing and grateful heart. And it should be a great honor and a great privilege to give back to you. After all, you have sacrificed for me. So please protect my heart from greed and teach me to give back to you with a cheerful heart and never under compulsion. I want to enjoy Christmas like never before and prove, especially to those I love, that you truly are the number one priority in my life. And I want to show that I love you and show that I trust you. And I want to thank you this Christmas for your indescribable gift of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for me. Matt, you lead us in our closing song, if you would, please, sir.
The first Noel, the angel did sing, was his certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. Where they
Real quick, but let me just tell you this up front. I want all of you to know how much I love you. What a great blessing it is to be part of this family at Grace Bible Fellowship. Amen? You guys are amazing. Again, I preached a sermon that's a biblical sermon, but I preached it to people that are some of the most loving and giving people I've ever met in my life. And so, but let me make a few announcements. December 24th, our Christmas Eve service, candlelight service. It's quick. And it's simple. It's about 45 minutes. But we're going to sing to the Lord and praise his name. And we're going to read the Christmas story. And we would love for you to be here on the 24th. But you might want to get here. Think about if you need to get here early because it's packed. Okay? But we'd love for you to be part of that. And then be sure and look at the Wednesday holiday schedule. Wednesdays just happen to drop on Christmas Day, on New Year's Day. So look back. January 8th is when we'll resume Wednesday night activities, okay? And then we have a new men's and women's Bible study coming February 12th. The men and the women are both going to be going through this book called The Challenge to Trust on the Path to Peace. It's a devotional book, actually, with about 50 devotionals in it. I'm going to be leading the men. Courtney's going to be leading the women. We're all going to be doing the same thing, but not in the same room, okay? The women are still going to meet over here. The men are going to meet across the street. But what I need you to do, if you don't mind, is go over to that white table against that far wall and sign up so I know how many books to get, okay? I called Cindy, the author. We're getting a discount on the books, but I need to get her a quantity, okay? So by the, just sign up as quick as you can, let me put it that way, and then I'll go back and order these books from her. And then if you want to give to the building fund, people are constantly asking me and people on the board, how do I give to the building fund? Where it says GBF new build questions, those are your instructions right there in the bulletin where it says GBF new build questions, okay? If you're interested in giving to that. And so we still have a little bit of time left, right, in December, and we're praying and we're thanking God for our church right now. Thank God for all the gifts. A lot of people have given in amazing ways to this building fund. And as you know, we've started the building, okay? But just ask the Lord to bless every gift that's given. Amen? Bless the giver and bless the gift, everyone that's given, in a special way. All right, we've got something really cool that we're going to do. Jeff Becker, you come up here and make this presentation for us, please, sir.
To introduce Miss Debbie Stubbs with Quilts of Valor. She has a presentation to make.
Hello, my name is Debbie Stubbs. I live in Clifton. I've been there 34 years now, so it is my home. I belong to a group of ladies that make quilts. There's a lot of quilters around in this area, but I do a special mission and a special ministry of making quilts for veterans. He was talking about giving, and our veterans are the ones, and our servicemen are the ones that have given for us to protect us and give us the freedoms that we have. So, in saying that, I belong to this group. Our foundation represents one human being reaching out and touching others without judgment, with acceptance and acknowledgement of service to our nation. In very trying circumstance, we consider this quilt a civilian award. A civilian award citizens can bestow on service members. I have two of your members of your church up here with me today, Mr. Wendell Poole, who I've already met, and Mr. Jeff Becker. I have forms, and I'm really not sure how Jeff got the form, but I pass them out to a lot of people, and I carry them with me everywhere. And what this does is it gives me a notice that, hey, there's this veteran and he needs a quilt. And so that's what I've done. I've heard that there may be some more veterans in this church, so I may be back. I've been doing this for 4 years now, 5 years, and it's a very big part of my life. I do a lot of it, and this is what I give of my time. I could say a cute little speech, but I'm not. We're going to be through with it and tell you about what these guys. I don't know these two guys until today, or I've talked to Jeff a couple of times. I'm not good with a mic. But I thank you for having them in your church, because I know they're leaders of you, help you with your church and what they've done for you. But remember the sacrifices that they made for us in their service. What I have is I have a certificate. I have a certificate for both of them. We're going to do Mr. Wendell Poole first, because Jeff nominated Mr. Poole. But the trouble in the talking to Mr. Jeff, I found out Mr. Jeff was a veteran too. So guess what? I come with two quilts, not just one. And I was talking to Donna, and Jeff said, well, I got plenty of quilts, and I know his wife was a quilter, but this is a special quilt. This is made to honor you, and it is an award. It's not a gift. I have a certificate to each one of them. This is Mr. Wendell's. It says, Wendell Poole, United States Air Force. This is December the 22nd, 2024. The Quilts of Valor Foundation wishes to recognize you for your service to our nation. We consider it our privilege to do so. Though we'll never know the extent of your sacrifice to protect and defend the United States of America, we award you this Quilt of Valor as an expression of gratitude from a grateful nation. I also have a certificate from Jeff Becker, but Jeff was in the Navy. So we'll say we have a Navy and Air Force up here, so this is good. This is when I'm going to have Jeff hold this. All right. This quilt has been made by me. This is not a blanket. It's a quilt. The quilt has three parts. Now I'm going to show you what your quilt looks like. Wow. few pictures here in a minute. Remember, this is why we're here. One of the reasons we are here is because of these people. Like I say, this is not a gift, it's an award. But I want you to do what you want to with it. You can cover up with it, you can hang it up, I don't care. But I would want you to use it. And every time you use it, you think about the other ladies that were trying to cover our veterans. Also, if you something happens to it and it falls apart, I'll make you another one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What a blessing. Jeff, did you know when you nominated Wendell it was going to backfire on you?
No, I didn't.
What a great blessing. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Merry Christmas to each of you. Hope I see y'all here on the 24th. But if I don't, have a very Merry Christmas. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And again, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And help us all to focus on what Christmas is really all about this season. It's all about loving each other and sharing gifts with each other.